This either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is!
The Mark of the Corsair, fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times. Ooh, she was a bad girl!
And so are we! Coming to you not live, probably direct, here on a Sunday that hopefully has cooled down a little bit. It's been much better in the Chatsworth, California room lately.
Yes, well, at least two of us are alive. I don't know about Madwoman.
Yes, I am not Madwoman. I am the Time Siren. Madwoman is in absentia, having a nice visit from a nice aunt of hers from out of town.
Yes, so family business, family matters.
Yes.
So we encourage that. Family's important.
Yes, and who are you, by the way?
Oh, I am the awful husband.
A.K.A. NASA nerd, but awful husband for this
adult
podcast.
Adult fan of Lego.
Yes, adult fan of Lego. He is not an awful husband. He is the awful husband. Make that what of that what you will. There you go. So, we've got a good bit of stuff to talk about here. Let's jump right in.
So, what we got first?
Well, last week we had reported on the leak of the new season of Doctor Who scripts.
Oh, that's right. I still got to get my hands on some of them.
Yes, the cluster bleep of that. And the BBC has issued an update on that. So I want to go straight off to Casterbarus.com, which is a blog that on a pretty regular basis they put a lot of stuff up
what was
about Doctor
again?
Who.
Casterbarus?
Casterbarus, which... Or Castabaurus, which is the constellation Gallifrey was originally in.
Okay.
And now is not. But I'm going to read their release here. Let's see. This is dated July 17th. BBC Worldwide has issued a statement to the press concerning the recent Doctor Who leaks, which resulted in scripts and even episodes from Series 8 to be shared online weeks ahead of the scheduled air date. The release says, "We would like to thank Doctor Who fans everywhere for their amazing efforts in helping us contain the recent leaks. The mistake was damaging and resulted in the exposure of 5 scripts and the first 6 unfinished episodes from Series 8 on a publicly accessible FTP site. While there's still a risk that this leak will result in more of this content emerging, so far the impact has been contained to a limited amount of this material through a combination of fan efforts and the plan that we have put in place using new technology and internal manpower to limit any illegal activity." BBC Worldwide has taken this issue extremely seriously, and disciplinary action has been implemented as a result of the incident. We would like to particularly thank the fan site moderators and Doctor Who devotees who have actively protected the program. Our sincere apologies again to Steve Moffat, the cast and production team, who's toil long hours to make the show in Cardiff, the BBC, and of course the fans who expect so much better. So there you go. Well, I love this that they say they put in place new technology.
Yeah.
Well, me being a website designer, I got to tell you, it only takes changing permissions on a directory to prevent people from looking at it. So, really? Okay. And I wonder if this was a hand slap or a firing. It probably was a firing.
I'm sure somebody was in big trouble.
Oh, yeah. I think somebody's in the unemployment line now.
I'm very glad that the fans are cooperating, because this is illegal. And I joke about trying to get my hands on the script. But, yeah, it's illegal.
It's illegal, and it just kind of spoils it for everybody. And I'm glad most people are pretty honest about it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
I mean, we try really hard not to have spoilers on movies or whatever. And we tell you if there's going to have a spoiler, so you can turn us off for a while. So, yeah, nobody wants it to be spoiled, you know?
Yeah, and believe me, we don't like being turned off, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So, our next big piece of news is, awful husband, did you realize that on the 24th of July, which is Thursday, we will have been broadcasting 2 years?
2 years?
2 years. It's our anniversary.
Doesn't seem like it.
Yes, we will be starting the third
Woo-hoo!
Year.
Woo!
Excited! So, that's awesome!
Well, you know, when Madeline gets back next week, maybe she'll have, like, a special where we reminisce about our favorite moments from the past year.
Yeah, that would be cool. Though I might have to do some research and pull some of the funniest bits out of previous episodes. And even though I do all the production on these, I don't generally remember them.
Well, after 52 weeks, even though we take a vacation here and there.
Yeah.
There's now, at least, what, 40, 45 weeks?
Yeah, now we've done over 100 episodes. So, oh, I guess we have done over 100 episodes. And we didn't even celebrate that. That's such a shame. Oh, well, but
we could go into daily syndication.
Yeah. So if you want to send us a thank you via Facebook or an audio, then saying happy anniversary, congratulations, or what have you, then we'll include that in the next episode.
Yeah, or tell us what your favorite moments are.
Yeah, or what you would like to see us go over in future episodes.
Yeah. Tell us what we're doing right, doing wrong, hopefully doing right.
Yeah. You know, I like that this is on radio. Nobody can throw Rotten Tomatoes at us.
Oh, and if they do, they'll see it.
Yeah, virtual tomatoes. So, next on our little list here, I have a note that, Awful Husband, you went to the GLAWS meeting yesterday.
The GLAWS meeting yesterday.
And you listened to an awesome speaker, so why don't you tell us about that?
Her name, well, first of all, GLAWS, Greater Los Angeles Writers Society, I'm a member. And every month they have a special speaker event. Most months, two times a year. Like next month, they have their summer party, and then in December they have their Christmas party. But they have special speaker events, and this speaker event was author Christine Conrad, and she's done over 40 made-for-TV movies.
Wow!
For like Lifetime and cable networks. Lifetime, if you don't know, is more geared toward a female audience. So a lot of her protagonists are female and that kind of thing. She's also done independent films. She's done some horror films, too. And if you look at her, you wouldn't think she did horror films.
She doesn't look scary like Tim Burton.
No, not at all. In fact, one of the questions somebody asks is, when you write horror, how do you live with yourself?
Oh, boy.
Because you have to think of these awful, horrible things that happen to people. And she said, when you're writing horror, if you're not getting up three times a night to make sure your door's locked, you're not doing it right.
Oh, boy. That's a good thing to remember, people.
Yeah. But her topic was writing a strong female character.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, but, you know, the first hearing that, going into it, I was thinking, well, what's the difference between writing a strong female character and a strong male character?
Yeah, what is the difference?
Well, she did discuss that. I mean, there was a section where it was just writing a strong character.
Right.
Which is either female or male.
Yeah.
But what she was talking about is basically gender biases.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, society has gender biases. Like, we have an idea of what is a female role and what is a male role.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the female is more nurturing, the male is more logistical, more action-oriented.
Or more aggressive.
Right,
yeah.
More aggressive. And so the whole idea, as a writer, you don't want to fall into these cliches, because then you're just rehashing what people already assume. As a writer, you want to break these cliches and go against the grain.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that was all. That's what, yeah. What this is about. And there has been talk on several boards and in general in the film industry and novel industry that there's a lack of strong female characters. So she was addressing why is that?
Okay.
And a lot of that was our biases as a society, and then, of course, a writer, you come from your society.
Yeah.
So you have those biases, and some of them are very subtle that you don't think about.
Ah.
Like, for example, she said that, you know, women are considered to be more verbal, or they talk more, or they explain things more. But that can be also translated as equaling they talk too much, or they're more gossipy. So there's a negative connotation in that.
Okay.
So if you're writing, you want to try to avoid that.
All right.
Yeah. And men are good at math, which can equal they're more logical. So these are the cliches, the generalizations in our society, and you want to break away from that.
Okay, that makes sense.
So if you want a strong character, you know, a female character can be logical.
Okay.
And in this strength, we're not talking just like physical strength.
Yeah.
We're talking mental strength, tenacity. You can have a woman in a traditional role, like a housewife, but maybe she's fighting for her kids to have a better education in her school or something. She's fighting the SATs or whatever.
Yeah.
So she has that tenacity to fight. That makes her a strong character.
Okay.
So she can be in a traditional role, but still be a strong character.
Hmm.
And that's another thing. A lot of producers and a lot of networks don't see that.
Yeah. Well, I, you usually have me proofread your blog posts. And I was looking over the one you have that you wrote on this that's going to be... When is that going to be show up on your blog?
It'll be up Monday the 21st. So by the time you hear this, you'll see it.
Okay.
And that's DennisAmadorCherry.com/blog.
And if you're on Facebook, you can friend him at Dennis Amador Cherry, the writer.
That's right.
And he will post an announcement and a direct link to it. But usually the best way to know that these are coming out is to subscribe to the RSS feed directly on the blog, on the website. But I was
send me comments and questions, and we'll discuss stuff.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you guys. I noticed in the last paragraph of what you were talking about, you were mentioning as far as strong female characters, America Ferrera, the actress doing Astrid of How to Train Your Dragon, and that she was expressing concerns about that. And then you mentioned that Hiccup's mother, Volga, was there.
Yeah, she's a strong character.
We're talking about Anna and Elsa from Frozen. And those two kind of caught my eye because I've read recently blog posts that say that Volga, that she was strong up until the point when her husband comes into the picture. And once they reconcile, she takes a back seat. And I don't know that that's necessarily true. I mean, if she took a back seat, it was because her husband died. And this is really the story at this point from then on of Hiccup assuming the role of being chief and getting, okay, spoilers, guys.
Yes.
And of...
Hopefully you've seen the movie by now.
Yeah, if you didn't, I'm sorry. And getting Toothless back. So, yeah, she's there to support him and all, but really... I don't think she could be strong through the entire thing. I mean, she had a great introduction, and you see her fight the bad guy.
Well, like you said, it's Hiccup's story.
Yeah.
He's the one that goes through the change. At first, he doesn't want to be the new chief.
Right.
His dad says, I want you to take over after me, and he doesn't want to do that. His thing is to train the dragons and all that. He doesn't want to be a chief of the whole, village.
Yeah.
But in the end, he becomes the chief.
Yeah, and his...
So it's his story. So,
yeah.
But about his mom being strong, she never stops being strong. We might not see her as much, but again, she's not the main character.
Yeah, you don't have to have... To have a strong female character, anyway, it's my opinion, you don't have to have her dominate the story. You don't have to see her every single scene being strong. And after this supposed point where she stops being strong, she does tell Hiccup... I might get this quote wrong. I think she says, you have the heart of a chief and the soul of a dragon.
Right.
So she's making this observation about Hiccup that's helping him on his journey to discover what his purpose in life is.
Yeah, she's empowering him in his darkest moment when his father has died.
Yeah, and you still have Astrid there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is with people. They love to nitpick things to death. And I loved Anna from Frozen and Elsa. I thought they were both awesome.
They were both strong characters. They had different strengths.
Yeah.
But they're both strong characters.
Yeah. And I don't see why people can't just sit back and enjoy something. If they really, these people that nitpick all of these characters and say they're weak, I'm challenging you to go out there and write something better. Or just stop watching movies because you're really bumming everybody else out. Nobody needs to be reading all the negativity you're pouring out there. I mean, come on.
If I don't like something, I just don't comment myself.
Yeah.
Unless it's like so awful, I can't stand it. But generally, if I don't like something, I don't comment.
Yeah.
And that's true on Facebook or whatever.
Yeah. Why bother throwing all that negativity out there? You're not doing anybody any favors. I mean, yes, you're entitled to your opinion, but... Really, in the end, it's just not doing anybody a service that, having this attitude, you get to a point where everybody goes, oh, no, them. They're always complaining.
There's a difference between critiquing and just complaining.
Yeah.
If you critique, you say, well, this was good, but I think this could have been stronger. They could have done this.
Yeah, it's constructive.
I would have liked to see that.
Yeah, it's constructive criticism.
Which is different than saying, oh, this was awful, and who was the writer on this, and they should never do a film like this again.
Yeah.
And, there's a way to express your disappointment without being negative.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, there is. So I think, you know, let's just try not to do that, people. It really doesn't help. My personal philosophy is, if I'm going to complain about something, I am going to provide a solution as well, which in a sense makes me a terrible listener, because I always, if someone, you know, is unburdening themselves to me, first thing out of my mouth wants to be, well, why don't you do this? Because it could improve the situation. But I'm just not the kind that wants to, you know, pat on the back and go, oh, yeah, you're right, everything's terrible, because I always see there's a solution to something.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway. Okay, so are you going to have links? Okay, has Christine done any books that you would recommend, or have you started reading?
She hasn't written books on writing herself, but she has contributed to the Now Write series. Uh-huh. And that's N-O-W, Write, R-I-T-E. And they are edited by Lori Lamson.
Okay.
And, for example, Now Write, Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror. Let me see what her contribution was in that one. The 11 Tenets of Fear.
Okay.
So this is, if you're writing something like a horror movie, which she has done, yeah, or if you're writing a science fiction like Aliens.
Yeah.
There's a lot of terror and fear there.
Yeah.
And so she goes over things like, you know, what are people generally afraid of? Like pain. People are afraid of pain.
Yeah.
So, or they're afraid of being disfigured, you know, so you have a threat of being disfigured. People are afraid of death.
Yeah.
So these are things you can tie in, like Aliens. Aliens, one of the things is the unknown. Because in the original Alien, you didn't see the alien for a long time.
Yeah.
And or the shark in Jaws. You hear that, dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And you get afraid before you see the shark.
Oh, I did. When my mother took me and I was a kid and I heard the music, I already was scared and I was like tugging on her arm saying, I want out of here. I don't even want to see this.
Now, had you read the book before?
I had read the book,
so
Jaws,
so you knew,
yeah,
what things are coming in your favorite.
I'm not sure if I read it. I think I read it after, but it was just the music, which, of course, was one of... It was like John Williams' piece that he became famous for.
That's what really propelled him.
His soundtrack, and it absolutely did its job. It scared the crap out of me, I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
So, are you gonna have links on your blog for, you know, can you go to, the, like, Amazon.com through your blog and...
Oh, I can add Amazon. I haven't done that, but I have... Oh, this presentation she did was a PowerPoint, and you can get it at writerstore.com. I think it's like $29.
Okay.
But it's really powerful. And I was writing notes really fast. I could get everything she said.
Uh-huh.
And she's also at ChristineConrad.com. That's CONRADT.com.
Okay.
There's a T at the end, so you have to remember
a silent
that.
Silent T.
Yeah. And, of course, she has a Facebook page, too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sign up for all those. And if you sign up with your email address... You know, she sends you content, and she sends you updates on things she's doing.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, and on her website, she has articles she's written for different websites.
Uh-huh.
She has, she reviews movies from the standpoint of how the story structure was made.
Oh, nice.
So it's like a critique, but also an analysis of how the story was put together, which is very helpful.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And she also does seminars and classes. You can sign up for stuff. She has these, I think they're called early bird seminars or something like that, where she'll take no more than 10 people at a time, and you basically spend 4 hours discussing three topics, and she'll look at your work and discuss it, and she encourages you to go off and write something or rewrite something, come back, and discuss
it. That's gold from coming from somebody who's done over 40 produced, made for whatever TV.
Now that's a career. I'd love to do that and make a living.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. That's somebody, save up your money and get her seminars, because that sounds fantastic.
So, so I'll have those links in there. But it was a very interesting conversation, you know, very interesting topic.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of the things Gloss is really good. They get top people.
Yeah.
You know, they're working in the industry, making money the way you want to make money, and they share what they've learned.
Yeah. So anybody who's serious about this, really? Seriously? Yeah. You
Glaws.org.
Need to join up.
Check it out.
Yeah, GLAWS.
Yeah, Greater Los Angeles Writers Society.
Yeah. So, on a cosplay note, we were catching up a little bit on Attack on Titan, which is a Toonami block anime. And this has been one, it kind of disturbed me from the beginning because it was so graphic. You basically had kind of cannibalism going on, giants eating people and snacking on them.
Yeah, 40-foot monsters.
Yeah, I mean, thank God this is animation.
The first couple of episodes were really depressing, but it does get better.
Yeah, and tonight they had quite a shocker with it. But you were telling me something interesting about...
Oh, I'm already seeing cosplay pictures.
Yeah.
On Facebook from the uniforms.
Okay. You know, the uniforms kind of...
And it's only been out for 9 episodes.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's also on... I'm not sure if it's on Crunchyroll or Hulu. Somebody at work has been watching it.
Okay.
So, okay. Check one of those two out.
Yeah. You know, the first impression I got from the costumes, I think it's the color and the cut of them. They kind of reminded me of the original Battlestar Galactica uniforms.
Yeah, they're brown. The cut is higher in the uniform than the jacket.
Yeah.
But yeah, the brown is the same.
Yeah. But it's now at... What episode did we just see?
Number 9.
This now is really starting to get interesting. You're having less of the... well, I don't know. There was a scene in there that was kind of gross tonight, but it wasn't as bad as some of the others.
Things are getting more complicated than just giants eating people. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because this kind of thing. I'm not a horror person. I don't like Michael Myers, Jason movies. They make me really physically sick. And but this is getting interesting now, so it'll probably hold my attention a little better. Which is good. So the cosplay is out there, you know. Go to Google Images and just Google Attack on Titan and see what's out.
I've seen them there too.
Yeah. So I wanted to put in a note here for the local peeps. The Pasadena Bead and Design Show is coming up. And this is where I go to get a lot of my new ideas for costume, for beadwork, for Delica beads, other than my local source, which literally is about maybe 10, 15 minutes down the road from where the Pasadena Hilton is, where they have this show. But you can get a lot of inspiration when you go there. The last couple of times I have been going to a dealer there, and I've put a link in prior notes to get pieces for my headdress for my Goddess of Death cosplay. And I've been toying with the idea of making more headdresses, different ones, to put on an Etsy store. Suddenly I've been getting more orders, and I haven't pursued opening another store yet. But I think I'll eventually get there. And so this show, the first time you go, sign up with them, and they will get you passes to go into future shows. You can get in free and bring a person along with you, and bring a friend. And there's a lot of really nifty stuff in there. Last day, everybody wants to unload their stuff so they don't have to pack it. It's really worth going. It starts on Thursday the 24th, goes through Sunday the 27th. It's in Pasadena, California at the Pasadena Hilton. And it's a wonderful show. It's crammed just full of really pretty shiny stuff and beads. Local vendors and vendors from far-flung parts of all of the United States.
And I don't remember if we ever mentioned this on the podcast, but remember once, I think it was the last time we went to Pasadena Bead Show.
The last time you went, yeah.
And you know, the two of us went. I don't always go with a time star on these things, but I went this time. And as we were leaving, we saw Tony Todaro, who's the president of GLAAS, because his wife does beadwork and had a booth there.
Yeah, Todaro Designs. And I've seen him at LostCon before. It was just the funniest thing. You know, she has beautiful dragonfly necklaces I was drooling over. And Dennis is like, Todaro, you know, that's kind of an unusual name. And I know a Todaro. Next thing you know, her husband Tony comes up.
He was like right across from the signing table, I think.
Yeah, so it's a small world.
So look for Todaro Designs, and you can talk to the member of GLAAS, the president of GLAAS.
Yeah, and we've, you know, Awful Husband, you did an interview with him.
Yes.
That we've linked on your blog, and we have linked in prior show notes. You can go and do a search on the website for it. It was, I believe it was last LostCon, which would have made it last November. So, and that reminds me, just a side note about blood drives. What do we have coming up here in the later future?
We have the LostCon blood drive, which is Thanksgiving weekend here in Los Angeles at the LAX Marriott.
Yay!
This will be, I think, the 26th year we've done it.
Oh, boy.
And I am working on Condor in San Diego for March.
Oh, cool.
So that's still in the works.
Yay!
So I'll be posting on that as we get closer to it.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a smaller concert. We're figuring out how to do it. We have to advertise for it, you know, more.
Yeah.
Because apparently they had one long time ago, didn't do so well, but they figured it wasn't enough advertising.
Build up that fan base. That's what we've done. We have a loyal following now at LostCon. So that's, you know, you do it consistently and persistently. And
at LostCon, we do at least 40. I think at the best was 56 one year.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but everybody knows we're going to be there.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you get some consistency under your belt and it works out, definitely.
And we always try to have fun with it. We try to make a theme that ties into the theme.
Oh, yeah, the theme this LostCon is going to be Spy versus Spy.
Yeah, the theme of the con is Cloak and Dagger, so the theme of the Blood Drive will be Spy versus Spy.
So I'm going to be the Black Spy.
And I'll be the White Spy.
And I was telling somebody this at LostCon, at LostFus last week, and they said, oh, that's awesome, because the Black Spy wins most of the time.
Oh, I haven't noticed that.
I didn't either, because, you know, on the Mad TV show on Cartoon Network, it was usually pretty even. They would have the White Spy win, then the Black Spy, then the White Spy. But I guess in the cartoons, the Black Spy wins more. So
we're going to have fun with that.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So for local peeps, San Gabriel Bead Company, I want to give a shout out to them. I'm going there for Delica beads. They are the least expensive, largest supplier of Delica beads in Los Angeles and Ventura County. And I just stocked up, because I am going to be displaying at Art of the TARDIS at Clockwork Couture in August. And the date on that is the 9th, which is a Saturday from 12 to 6 p.m. in Burbank. And I'm going to have supply kits for peyote stitch bracelets that are going to spell out Police Public Call Box. They're going to be done in kind of a dull silver, which it's a color called steel. It's going to have an edge of the steel silver. The words can be picked out in blue against a black background. And, of course, it's a TARDIS blue. I'm doing the kits because they take about 6 to 10 hours to create. So actually doing one and trying to sell the finished one is really expensive. And a lot of people kind of want to do this as their own. So I picked up supplies for that.
So you'll teach them how to do it. They can just go off and finish
them.
It themselves.
Yes. Yes. We're going to price probably about $50 or so. And that's going to include the kit, which is going to have everything. It's going to have, you know, the needles, the threads, the beads, and this beautiful little clasp, which is a toggle clasp, but it's in the shape of a watch.
Ooh.
Which is awesome. I was so excited when I first saw that. And I have one on mine. My bracelet actually says wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
I've seen that.
So I'm going to have that pattern.
Now, you and Matt Whedon both do these bracelets, right?
Yes.
I've seen her do, you know.
Yes. She actually.
The Iron Man one.
The Avengers. We had the whole Avenger line, and then we dropped that for other pursuits. But we kind of honed our skills on those particular ones. I'm going to have three different designs. I'm going to have the wibbly wobbly timey wimey. I'm going to have Police Public Call Box, and I'm going to come up with another one that I'll talk about next week. I'm not sure I can get the pattern done in time for next week's podcast, but I will have it before Art of the TARDIS, and it's going to be a Doctor Who themed one. And if you've ever seen Doctor Who t-shirts or been to Gallifrey, you have seen this, so it's going to be pretty cool. And also on the theme of San Gabriel Bead Company, in August, they're having a sale, 20% off all beads in stock, Friday through Sunday, August 29th through 31st. So that's a really nifty thing to get into. They also have their what are called trunk shows, which are usually ethnic silver and beads, like Venetian beads. And that's going to be Saturday and Sunday, August 9th and 10th. They have artist showcases there. They have a semi-precious trunk show Friday through Sunday, August 22nd through 24th. And that goes into what I want to mention next. And I did this last year. I was only able to get two stamps on my passport. Southern California has something awful husband called the Bead Shop Hop. Now, this is
Let's go to the hop.
Let's go to the hop.
Let's
yes.
go to the hop.
There you go. Oh, does that mean I have to insert the music for that? there for three consecutive weekends in September, Friday through Sunday, the 5th to 7th, the 12th to 14th, and the 19th through 21st. And the stores that are participating have extended hours on these, Friday and Saturday, 10 to 7 p.m., and Sunday, 12 to 5. Now, this is presented by the Southern California Local Bead Store Association. Of course, it's something that encourages people to shop, and you get lots of perks. And they have Southern California divided into two regions. Region 1 is Ventura, L.A., Orange, and San Bernardino counties. Region 2 is Riverside and San Diego counties. And the idea is to shop at as many of these bead stores as you can. You can get a stamp on your passport, which they provide this little booklet that each store has its own stamp. And they stamp there to prove that you've been there, you shopped. They're going to have special promotions, make and take projects, refreshments. Each store has a free little charm that they give away. If you visit three of these stores, you can receive a free bead shop hop charm and a bracelet to attach all the charms with. Now, if you complete all 22 stores that are listed in this, you get a very special bead shop hop finisher charm. And there are other prizes. There's a grand prize, which is, oh, I would love to get this. If you get all 22 stamps, you become eligible to win a $500 shopping spree at any or all of the bead stores, gift basket full of goodies, and the very prestigious gumball machine trophy filled with beads. The three runners-up that get $250 shopping spree. They're going to have two winners of the regional prize that will get a gift basket valued over $200. The shop gift baskets are the next one. 44 winners for that. Baskets that are valued over $100 each. And then there's participation prizes.
This is like for serious beaters.
This is.
You're going to cover a majority of Southern California with this thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at the, this is nuts. In Region 1, there's 11 stores. And Region 2, there's 11 stores. But you know, there is a store in Carlsbad.
In Carlsbad?
Yes. And Carlsbad is well known in the closet before Legoland.
So could you like drop me off for a day while you go bead hunting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we could also...
I don't know who's going to spend more money, you at the bead stores or me at Legoland.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to burn the checkbook, I think. And, you know, you don't have to go there and buy a ton of stuff. You could go there and pick up like one or two things and get your passport stamped. And it's a fun thing. And you get to, you know, it's like an excuse to visit new bead stores. I'm always looking for new sources for Japanese Delica beads because these things, the two stores that we have locally are both 40 minutes away from the house. It's funny. They're absolutely equidistant, and there's no source closer than that.
So they're in different directions, right?
They're absolutely opposite directions. One of them is in Ventura County, which is west from here, northwest, and the other is east, out towards the low desert, towards Ontario. I just can't win, I tell you. You know, there used to be more stores around here, but Delica beads are expensive to stock, and they're absolutely worth it, though. I mean, each store has about 150 colors.
Wow.
So between the two of them, I get a lot of stock. And as we mentioned last week on the podcast, I've been working on the Fourth Doctor Lariat scarf, which I'm doing. I started with Delicas from Creative Castle. That was working pretty well, but a couple of the colors were a little off. So we finally got the correct colors from Tardis Tara's old website, Witty Little Knitter. Unfortunately, the domain has not been renewed. I don't know if she's going to have it back or not, but you can still search up the image and of the page. And the beads I got from there are not Delicas. I just showed you the colors.
Yes.
I think they're a little closer, but I'm going to put those aside. And this is something else I'm going to have kits for. These kits are going to be on sale at Art of the TARDIS, along with an example of what it looks like when it's finished, which I will gladly sell for $200 if anybody wants to actually pick up the finished Lariat necklace.
Which you have sold at conventions.
Which I have sold at an art show for $200. So it's not an out-of-control price. In fact, it's really good considering this is 12 hours of work.
If you understood the work that goes into these things.
Yeah. So, but again, the class, which has been confirmed by Donna at Clockwork Couture, is going to be for a bracelet that's going to say Police Public Call Box, Peyote Stitch. It's between 6 and 10 hours of work. They're a lot of fun to do. I'm going to teach you the technique and how to do some tips and tricks to make it go a little faster and make it turn out really nice looking. That is going to be on Saturday, August 16th from 1 to 3 p.m. Again, that's going to be a Clockwork Chore. So,
that's in Burbank, 707 Main Street.
Yes.
Right up from the Equestrian Center.
Off of the 134 freeway. It's quick and easy to get to if you go by freeway. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's a stitch and bitch. But the gals that were at the designing a parasol had a lot of fun with it. And I'm going to be looking for, I actually have been looking for parasols that are dark blue to do a TARDIS cosplay parasol. I might actually have to dye some that I got that were not the color promised. They're more like a baby blue. So if this works out, soon we will have a video of our progress and how we dyed this and did it work.
Mm-hmm.
Because nylon is one of those things that it doesn't necessarily take the dye well. So if it, it'll be our first maker video, actually, that we'll put up, and it'll be really cool. So we're going to experiment with that next week, and hopefully Mad Woman will be here to assist. And we'll see what happens with that.
Well, that sounds exciting. That's a whole new aspect of cosplaying and costuming, dyeing stuff to get the color you
need. Yeah, for us. And if that works, I'm also going to work on dyeing a cloak because I tried to get one on eBay and the store in England I wanted to go through is on hiatus for like 2 months. They're not going to be back till late September. So I went ahead and did the dumb thing and I ordered one from China. I don't think it's as full. I'm not happy with it at all, but it's so expensive to ship this thing back. I think it's just going to be a wash and I might as well hang on to the fabric. I can use the fabric for other projects, but now I still need a black cloak. Well, I have a couple of other colors I'm going to try and dye. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, international shipping is really
hard. It's horrible. Yeah, it's expensive.
I mean, I bought Lego on eBay, and you can get some really good deals if you buy Lego from England or Germany or Sweden or something. But the postage will kill you, so I never do it.
Yeah, yeah, it can be pretty bad. You got your Lego neon sign from Japan, and that sucker, the postage was almost as much as the sign itself.
Exactly.
So,
but you got that for me, and I appreciate it so much.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's something
you
can't get in America for some reason.
And I've never, ever, ever seen it again.
It's in the bedroom.
Yeah, I keep actually, I'm turning around here, and I'm looking at the wall, because I know it's in the bedroom.
Well, in the old place we lived, I had a Lego display case underneath the staircase.
And it was
in there.
The staircase
was come down, make a right angle, so there's a space underneath.
Yeah.
And I could put it up there and have it on and all that.
Yeah.
Here, I don't have that kind of space.
Yeah, it's really cute, though,
and it's a unique
thing.
You know, I've never seen it anywhere in America.
Yeah, so. I knew I had to grab it. It was around,
not even in Lego stores, so
yeah,
that was pretty cool.
It was around that time that I was very much into cruising eBay for the Jim Carrey movie, How the Grinch Stole Christmas stuff. So I happened to see it and went, shiny, I must have for the love of my life.
Thank you.
Yes. So, okay, enough lovey-dovey stuff. We are out of topics. We would love to have more.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. No, there
was. Going back to cosplay.
Yes, there was one more. I almost forgot this because I was not looking at the page. And actually, I think I'm going to let you handle this one, Mr. Awful
Well,
husband.
Since you can read it from there, I'll let you.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a gal named Katie Goldman, and she has been bullied for her love of Star Wars. I'm not quite sure how old she is.
I think she's 11.
She's like 11 years old. And the bullies, I cannot understand, Awful Husband, how boys can think this in this age. They claim that Star Wars is just for boys.
You know, I'm kind of surprised at that, too. I mean, at this age group, I mean, all these kids grew up with the movie in their house on DVD.
Yeah.
So I don't see how you can say it's just for boys. But like,
it's not.
Duh, Leia!
Yeah, the mentality is just ridiculous. Leia Amidala, the head of the rebellion, Mon Mothma is a female. Give me a break. So, anyway, Katie had been bullied. Her mother felt bad for her, and she actually contacted the local 501st Stormtrooper Legion. And she wanted to get instructions on how to make a Stormtrooper outfit sized to Katie, because she's only 11 years old, so the usual mold is way, way too big. Well, they didn't give her the instructions. They built it for her. They did a fundraiser, and they made the armor for her, and she was so excited about it that she hit a bunch of different events with it. She went to her school on Halloween, and she, you know, she was in, I think, a local parade. It was just an amazing thing. The best thing about this is that her mother came to hear about another girl, a little girl who was bullied. Actually, I think the 501st sent her a message about it and said, there's another girl named Allison who's being bullied. Would Katie be willing to pass the armor on to her since they're both 11 years old? They're both
well, the other girl was younger, I think, and so Katie was growing out of it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they grow really fast at that age. So her mother sat down with Katie and explained what was going on, and Katie said, yes, I want to do this. So now they call this the, what is this, the Traveling Stormtrooper, Sisterhood of the Traveling Stormtrooper Costume. I love this.
It was not just the Stormtrooper outfit. Katie sent a letter. Katie's friends also sent letters to this other girl.
Yeah.
So it was just a whole support group. It's
encouraging
like,
her.
You know, your girl, you love Star Trek, Star Wars? Great, you know?
Yeah.
That's the love of fandom. We yeah. all love something, and we understand it.
Yeah. And I tell you, these bullies, I'd love to clobber them. Please. Come on, guys. You know, bring your kids up to be smarter than this. Don't hold to these outmoded ideas of, oh, this is for boys only. This is for girls only. You know, if it's something like this. I mean, with a stormtrooper, you can't tell the sex of the person inside. You know, it's like a Mandalorian warrior, which, by the way, the anyone in the comics... Mandalorians, which is the Boba Fett costume,
yeah.
are male and female.
There you go.
So I don't know where this crap is coming from that stormtroopers can only be girls. Yes, in the movies, they were clones of a male. But if girls want to get in on this too, I think they should totally be encouraged. There is no hard and fast rule. You're not going to hear George Lucas or Disney say, no, it's only for boys. Come on. So let's all grow up about this. And if your child wants to do a male or a female version of a costume that happens to be the opposite sex, you know what? Show your creativity, encourage your child, and help them get the costume done. You know, it can only result in them blossoming as a person and learning that, you know, basically males and females are the same. They're the same inside, pretty much.
Well, can you tell from a Stormtrooper's outfit is there's a male or a female in there?
No, you can't.
I mean, don't we have male and female soldiers?
Yeah, exactly.
And airmen and you know, sailors?
Yeah. And
so?
when Krista and I did the Grinch costume, she wasn't stopped by the fact that the Grinch was a male and that Jim Carrey had done the, you know, the movie version. And nobody, okay, two kids figured out it was a female. We have no idea how, because her chest was taped down. You had the fur and a loose Santa costume suit on top of it. There's no outside, you could not see that this was a girl. You just couldn't. The prosthetics on the face completely hid anything that gave her away as a woman. And yet two little kids figured it out. But all the adults kept thinking, oh my God, this is Jim Carrey. This is the Grinch. They never once even went, oh, are you a boy or a girl? You know, it just doesn't happen. Not when the costume is that good.
And you don't care when the costume is that good. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you have a parade and oh my gosh, the Grinch shows up.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's important.
Yeah, or a stormtrooper. You're not going to go up and go, excuse me, are you a male or a female in there? Though I do have one amusing story.
Yes.
Oh, you remember this.
Oh, yes.
Okay, back when I was part of the first Star Wars, Northern California Star Wars fan club, we were up in San Francisco at the only, it was the first THX theater. And at first 70mm theater, I don't remember the name of it, it might even be long gone, we were promoting the movie in costume, and it was, I think it was bordering the gay district of San Francisco. And I was told about this because I happened to be turned the other way. So when I look back, our Han Solo, who was a male, and our Chewbacca, who was a female, were kind of snickering about something. And I'm like, what's going on? And they came up to me, it might have been then or it might have been later, and said, well, these two guys came up, these two gay guys, one of them grabbed the Wookiee's crotch and walked away and said, that's a girl in there. It's like, wow, okay, that was interesting. But most of the time, you couldn't tell from her. You know, we'd had a male in the costume, and our male, Pat, was sick that day. So, you know, one of our tall women went into it. And you had these lifts on the feet that were like 7 inches tall. Nobody sat there and went, oh, you're a female Wookiee. Seriously, I don't think people noticed that much. So,
yeah. Well, you know, getting back to the 11-year-old girl, you know what I'd love to see?
What?
I'd love to see a bunch of girls gang up on the boy and bully him for liking Aliens, because Aliens is a woman's movie.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Definitely. The heroine is a female. The girl, little girl she protects is a girl. And the baddie, who is the baddest alien of all, is the mother of the nest.
Talk about strong women characters.
Holy cow. You've got,
you're not going to get stronger than Ripley.
Two women going at it, you know, human and inhuman. Boy, I mean, sometimes I wonder why they say the males are the more aggressive. You haven't seen two women in a cat fight. You have not seen the true aggression of women, or especially if they're protecting their young. You know, I think men ought to watch out, but typically when we go after somebody, at least if it's a maternal instinct, wow, all the men should get out of the room. So, anyway, off of the Estrogen Brigade here, that's our podcast for this week. Check us out on Corsairs Closet on Facebook, Corsairs-Closet.com on the web. We are on Twitter, time_siren is my handle. I usually handle the announcements and upload the links to the podcasts when they broadcast on Krypton Radio, which is 4 p.m. on Wednesday and repeats on Friday. After that, they are uploaded to the website. The show notes are there. They're invaluable to links to everything we talk about, to photos, to videos. They are your one-stop shop.
Yes.
Yes. And that is it. Everybody, stay costuming, stay happy, send us pictures of your costumes. We will pimp and praise them all over the net. Why in the world would you not want us to do that? Yes. After all, this is performance art.
Yes, and love what you love and don't be ashamed of it.
The Corsetaires would like to praise, pimp, and generally annoy the BBC for not knowing how to secure FTP sites, Adult Swim for showing such bloody evil anime as Attack on Titan, Clockwork Couture, Beat Whores Everywhere, and Krypton Radio. This has been, was, or will be a Krypton Radio production. Please visit www.corsetaires-closet.com for prior episodes, links to our social networks, show notes, email addresses, and brand new blog. We would really love to hear from you.